Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker. I'm a businesswoman, author, speaker, life coach. I'm also writing another book. I will release it and let you know what that is. But I have four books currently. The first, From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. Then, Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future. And third, Restored Vessels, Young Adults Overcoming Adversities. And then Unlimited Possibilities, The Roadmap to Restoration. You can find all of those books on my website, www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. And we just came out of an election campaign, and President Obama is in office for another 4 years. I have my co-host, Shirley Carter. Shirley, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everyone. I am also an entrepreneur, a business owner. I have a nonprofit organization as well called Against All Odds and an entertainment company called Phenomenal Entertainment. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Yeah, I am so excited and delighted to be past the election process. You know, I've been saying and talking to people about how important it is to cast your vote so that we can ensure some type of normalcy in our future. I need a president that's for all the people, not just some of the people, some of the time. And I believe that the president, given another 4 years, will at least have the opportunity to fulfill some of those things that he had promised the 4 years prior. And but the bottom line is what I want to talk about today is moving forward. We have got to move forward in our life as far as it goes for our dreams, our goals, and those things that we desire to do, because we're in the greatest dispensation of our life right now, this very moment. I don't care what it looks like, feel like, or act like. We control our destiny. We control our purpose and what it is that we are supposed to do in life, because it was given to us before the foundation of the earth. Just as the president was called to be who he is, we are likewise a call to be who we are. We're all born for greatness, but greatness is a choice. We've got to choose it, otherwise we'll lose it. So it is up to us to make manifest those things in our lives to reach that end goal. Because if we're in alignment with the assignment God has for our life, then the world will beg for what we have. People will seek after us. We won't have to worry about finances, because finances will come to us. We won't have to worry about relationships, because the relationships will manifest themselves. A lot of times we can't get in relationships with individuals is because of the fact that we're not ready. We are not able to have someone else in our life space because we'll wind up being codependent on them, and they just be all messed up. That's why we have so many people that are so discombobulated. And then we have our darling little children. They're in the cesspool of indecisiveness, the cesspool of not knowing, the cesspool of violence, of all of these things going on. But we have got to move forward with our minds. Focus. We've got to be focused. We've got to be centered. We have got to have a plan. Do you agree, Shirley?
Oh, yes, we do. Because if you don't have a plan, you just plan to fail. You've got to have a plan to move forward. You got to have a plan. You got to have a plan of not only putting it down, but executing your plan. See, some people make plans, but they don't have a way to execute it. And you've got to have all those things into place. And when they say have a plan A, plan B, because things happen in life that will cause you sometimes to change your course, but that doesn't mean that you lose focus. It means that you may have to take the detour to get back onto the right road. But by all means, know that you have a plan and follow your plan. So you have to have these things in place to keep moving forward.
Yeah, one of our speakers, Andy Henriquez, he talks about what happens when your plan A and B fails? What do you do when you're blindsided? How do you move on? from Stuckville. And that's what happens a lot of times with us. Life shows up and throws us a curve, and we tend to buckle under because we don't know the next step to take, because we have not educated ourselves with personal development materials. We have not renewed our mind so that we can be able to work through the process. Whatever or wherever you are in life right now, it's a process that made you get to where you are, and it's going to be a process to help you get out. So you have got to focus yourself and read personal development stuff, listen to personal development stuff, get some friends that are going somewhere, doing something, and about something. If you're hanging around individuals and they're still crying broke and saying this ain't happening and that ain't happening, then you need to find somebody else to hang out with, because, you know, you become a product of your environment. People, they always say misery loves company. Well, if I find you that miserable, I'm going to keep it moving. I've got to move forward. I have a caller holding line 2175. Are you there? Hello?
Yes, I'm here. This is Marie. I'm here.
Hello, Marie. How are you?
I'm doing fine today. How are you all?
Well, yes. Marie, we just came through a paradigm shift here. What are you going to do? What are your thoughts about moving forward?
Well, I'm just like President Obama. You know, in order for, he said that he would need our help. And we haven't really been helping him to move forward, you know, because the you know, senators and things like that, they have been doing, you know, like what they wanted to do and, you know, not just coming to a conclusion, you know. And we really do need to either vote them out or start, you know, doing something that, you know, would help the president, because he has to have help from us too. We can't just vote and then just forget about everything. That's not fair to him, and it's not right, because he's asking for help, and we do need to help him. Now, as for me, I'm trying to do a lot of things that I need to do for myself, you know, and I'm trying to do it on my own instead of, you know, having people to help me, because, you know, with me being disabled, a lot of things I can do and a lot of things I cannot do, you know. So I'm trying to move forward on doing things that, you know, has been real, you know, hectic for me to do. And today I've been doing real, real, real good, because I was able to do things that I haven't been able to do since 2008, because I stopped walking in 2008. So I've been doing a lot of things now that I can do, and I thank God for it. He gets all of the glory and all the praises, because without him, I have not anything. Thanks for letting me share that.
Well, thank you so much for joining. And, you know, that was very interesting that you would say that you're this day, today, in November, that you are able to do things that you hadn't been able to do since 2008. And, you know, we take our abilities for granted. We think we have all the time in the world where we can put on hold our dreams, and our dreams will activate when we decide we want to get up off of our duff and do something. But, you know, when we're not doing what we were supposed to do in life, it hinders other people from doing what they're supposed to do in their life. Our lives are impacting somebody else's. They control somebody else's destiny, and it's up to us to make manifest. I was joking with Shirley yesterday, and today we were talking about her books. Now, those of you that follow the show for the last 3 years, I told Miss Shirley Carter I don't want to hear her mention a book or that she's a soon-to-be author anymore until I see some manifestation. Now, sometimes in our life, when we see things going on, it causes us to shift. You know, sometimes, because just like when I left my marriage, my abusive marriage, it was that one thing that caused me to shift when my children stepped before me and said, to my ex-husband that he wasn't going to hit me anymore, that created a shift in my life. And, you know, everybody has their level of enough where they say, I am not going to be in this same state anymore. And you decide to get up and do something about it. So I've been teasing Shirley the last couple of days because she had sent me an email and I was out. And I said to, and she was like, I sent you my book. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. Because, you know, I didn't want to hear anything about a book. I told her, don't say nothing to me about a book. So she says, I sent it to you. I said, okay. She says, did you look at your email? And I'm like, no, I'm out. And she was like, well, do you see it in my phone? I said, I see that I have it in my phone, but no, I have not looked at it. You know, your emergency is never somebody else's emergency, especially since I've been waiting for 3 years for her to make manifest some book that she's been talking about.
You know I'm going to get you on this one.
That's why, hey, this is Hot Topics from the Soul. This, you know, Hot Topics from the Soul is a lifeline where we can be real and say what's what. Because, you know, there's somebody listening right now to say, I know exactly what she's talking about. So, you know, this morning I called her and she answers the phone, hello. And I said, hey, I got your book. She said, did you read? I'm like, hey, I'm just getting up. And she wanted to know, did I read the book? But that's my girl. I love her, Shirley.
You know what? You know, I'm glad our listeners are listening to what you said. Because in a month or two, you asked her to recap this conversation. Because this is the book that I wrote, everyone, is a book that I didn't talk to her about. There's another book that she's speaking of that was being written by my cousin, and no, that one is not completed. And Val always said, well, you can tell your own story better than anyone else. And so I decided to write a different book. And that book I kept to myself. And I wrote that book, and I sit on that book for a few months. I didn't even tell her about it. So she was not sure what book I was sending her. So she got a book that I wrote. It only took me a few months to write it, but I sit on it for a few months contemplating, should I extend the book, but my spirit would not allow me to extend it. It said, this is enough. Enough is said. And the book is about relationships. The title of the book is Inside the Mind of a Woman and the Soul of a Man. And the book is based on life experiences as well as situations and circumstances that I've encountered or people in my life have encountered. So the book is an easy read. I have to see that it was not my life story. It's something that's totally different. But with the focus is where I'm at and what I'm, you know, it goes into what we're talking about tonight about moving forward. Because I could still be contemplating and working on that book that's been in the works for the last 4 years or more. But I needed to move forward with something. And my spirit led me to do this book. And it was so easy to do it that it kind of surprised me. When I sit down and I read it, I said, did that come from me? You know, it's like I was placed in a position and a state of mind that was actually, it felt like someone else was doing it, you know, instead of me. So with that, I felt that why would I try to change anything or add something to it in my current state of mind when I sit and I wrote that book and I wrote it so it didn't take long to write it, that there was a place that something going on inside of me at that moment that led me to do it and move forward. And then it just gave me the inspiration to say, I am moving forward, whether I complete that other book or not, or any other book, I'm moving forward with this one and whatever else that the Lord may have for me to do. I have to stay in line and according to what he wants me to do. Even though Val sometimes wants to get on me, but I have to stay in that path. And that's my plan, and I'm sticking to it, Val.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Shirley. And you know, at the beginning of the call, I said I was writing another book. I'm writing another book about people that procrastinate.
Good for you.
You know, there is so much gifting in each and every individual. And as I said, you know, that we're here to connect and impact somebody else's life. And until we make manifest those gifts in us, then other gifts in other people's lives can't be manifested. It's just as simple as that. And, you know, the book that you're talking about regarding relationships, Shirley, is, you know, it's always an on-time book as it relates to relationships, because there are so many people that are going through relationship issues. It is just frightening. And, you know, my passion is those, you know, that are victims of domestic violence, rather be male, women, children, because domestic violence doesn't have a gender, it doesn't have a financial status, it doesn't have a weight, size, or color. It is what it is. And until we define who we are as individuals, we will continue to have problems as it relates to violence in the home, because, you know, violence is frustration. When a person is frustrated because they don't know who they are, let alone whose they are, then they begin to lash out. And when you lash out, you take out that frustration on other people. And most of the time, the victims are those that are close to you, those that you love. I mean, there are people that are dating and they're not even married, and because they want so much to be in a relationship, they take the abuse, verbal and mental abuse, of their partner just to say, I got a man, or just to say, I have a woman. And some things are just not worth it, regardless of the price, regardless of the status. Some things are just not worth it.
Amen.
I was looking at Steve Harvey's show the other day, and they had a segment on there as it related to online dating. And I've tried online dating, and I had a couple of successful relationships as far as online dating was, but, you know, the fact still remains that it is a smorgasbord. There's plenty of people. There's one website called Plenty of Fish. Well, there are plenty of people on those websites, and women of victims more so than men, I find, well, at least the ones that I encountered, because of the fact that women are so vulnerable, they want love so badly, and men have kind of like mastered just what to say and just how to treat you, just to get you. And on this show with Steve Harvey, this woman wound up giving this guy $35,000 of her money because he said the right things. She just met him, hadn't even been with him 3 months, and wound up giving $35,000. And I'm like, you know, that is crazy. I could have told you everything you needed to know, and it would have cost you probably half that. But we are so gullible, so vulnerable, so much wanting to be loved and in love to we accept any and everything. And we've got to move forward being more intelligent as it relates to our bodies. I mean, we don't have to give up our bodies to show that we're in love or in a relationship with someone. If they really value who you are, you don't have to give up your assets. Is that right, Cheryl?
You're the one
that has this book out. Tell us some highlights so people can know what to look forward to as it relates to your book.
Well, one thing about the book it's the basic, you know, it's getting back to the basics of a relationship because of so many different facets that goes on in a relationship and all the different avenues that are available, like you were saying, Val, the online dating, and then there's the getting the confusion between love and lust and friend and foe, disconnecting. Because of the technology and so many different things that are going on, some of the stuff the book covers is when a person disconnects. Because we have become that this age of texting and email and Facebook and, you know, all these other media, social media ways to connect with someone. We tend to disconnect as far as the human emotions and feelings that one has, and that leads in falls and folds into our relationship to get to a point where we're trying to define another person when we really don't know who we are anymore. It's like you begin to blend previous relationship, current relationship, and then you're molding all these different people in our hearts and in our mind that we tend to disconnect from reality of it all. That first we got to go back to the basics of who we are, learning who we are and accepting who we are, loving ourselves and forgiving ourselves. There's so many people that go from relationship to relationship and they carry, you know, our baggage and everything, and then we start to mix this relationship with some threads from the last relationship, trying to build that perfect or that ideal relationship. And we're losing the basics of it, of communicating, taking the time to get to know the other person. But before we even go into all of that, when we're coming out of a relationship, take time to heal. Take time to see what did we gain from that last relationship. And some things you're going to be able to carry with you. I'm not saying that every time you change relationship that everything was bad. No, in every relationship there's a lesson. But we have to learn to accept what it is and leave the bad things alone and leave them behind and move forward. We tend to move forward with these luggages and everything. And then when we get in the next relationship, we got this ideal picture of who we want, and we start to mold and blend all these things together. But my book is basically telling us about going back to the basics, but it's taking you through a journey, and at the end, it's about the journey of it all, is to find in love. And one of the things about love is God is love. So through your journey, we have lost him, but we have to, you know, the book kind of leads you back into how to reconnect and how to bring him back into your life and how you can fulfill your life and have a, you know, a successful relationship, a fulfilling relationship, but most of all, keeping God in your relationship.
I've heard a lot of people say all the good men and women are taken, they're already married, already with someone. A few weeks ago, we had a show where we were talking about relationships, and I had some of the callers on, and one particular one of us finished to the show, Captain Mark. He had made a statement, and oh my goodness, the women were all over him because of the remarks that he had made as it related to relationships. But, you know, odd enough, he was absolutely right in some of the things that he was saying, but people didn't have the courage to say it, or it was like, oh, let's keep this in the closet. But there are individuals that are willing to share regardless, even if they know that there's somebody else's, but that's because they have low self-esteem. They will take drama and take and abuse from their partners because they want so much to say they're with someone. But then I've also thought that, you know, a lot of times, like, well, I felt, even with my marriage, that I had invested 19 years and I was not willing to at that point
to let it go and let somebody reap all of the benefits that I felt that I should have gotten because I put in the time. I put in a lot of mental, physical abuse in that where I felt I should have reaped some type of reward, some type of vindication for my time, for my suffering. But then at the end of the day, I realized that it wasn't going to be what it was, what it was, and there wasn't going to be any other solution to what was going on. So I just had to release it. And that's what we have to do. We have to forgive where we are in order to free where we have to go. And that's one of the reasons why I wrote that second book, Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future, because in so many instances, in so many cases, we fail to forgive ourselves for time that we can't redeem.
Yeah.
So in doing that, it is time for us to move forward and reposition ourselves. What are we going to do differently in this dispensation of our life than what we've been doing? We can't do things the same old way expecting a different result. So we've got to, you know, cause a shift in things that we're doing. Write down those things that you are actively doing in your life that are actively toxic to your life right now. And if you're involved in some activity, rather it be romantically or spiritually or financially, so many of us are messed up in our finances. We buy things we don't need just because, you know, we see it, we want it, and we saw somebody with something and we want it, we spend the money that we shouldn't spend. So we need to reevaluate, reposition ourselves. I've heard the president say we need to live within our means. Well, I think we need to live below our means, because if we live below our needs, then we're able and we'll have more to be able to do those things that we wish and desire to do. But a lot of times, you know, if you really process and calculate what we spend out and what we're spending out, we will find that it's a lot of stuff that we don't need in the first place. We really
That's
don't.
True.
So
we can't take that stuff with us.
Mm-hmm. We've got to move forward in a mindset of, okay, I want to be able to travel more. In order to be able to travel more, then you've got to save money on things you do locally so that you can be able to do things out of town. You're shopping and buying things that you see, as I said, that you don't really need just to keep up with the Joneses. I can't tell you the last time I went in. So, matter of fact, this weekend I went in the store and I said I was going to buy me some shoes, but I said I haven't bought me anything in over a year, I don't think, because I didn't need anything. But I felt that I needed to buy myself something because I'd been under a lot of pressure doing a lot of things, and, you know, I'm always doing things in the community and giving things to people. And I said, you know, I need to treat myself. And do you know, I went to about 4 or 5 stores, and I couldn't find nothing that I needed bad enough to spend the money for. Is that something? Could not find anything worth buying that I felt that I had to have. And that's how it is with a lot of us. If we really observe our habits, we don't really need it. We just want it. I've learned to appreciate the things that I have, like lights, gas, a car, a home. I'm appreciating still being in my home. I'm appreciating still having a car to drive. I went through an emotional turmoil the beginning of the year because I had to give up my Lexus. I love my Lexus. It was my dream car. It was my second car, Lexus, that I got. But I felt that it was devaluing who I was because I no longer had my Lexus. I wound up getting a Camry because I needed to save some money. And the only way to save some money was I had to let go of a toy because, I mean, I needed something to get me from A to Z, but I was, you know, it was to me a car status. And we put ourselves in debt because we want to be on this status or this world. People can say, oh, look what she's driving or look what he's driving, but you're suffering in the process because you're struggling every month to pay for it. I'd rather be free. I'd rather be comfortable than stressed out about how I'm going to survive and how I'm going to make it from day to day. And that's what we have to reevaluate in this process of what we're going to do. We've got to reposition ourselves so that in these next 4 years we can see some results, not because the president created something for us, but because we took the mindset that we're taking control of our life, we're taking control of our destiny. It is up to us. It is up to us. We define who we are, not a man. We define who we are because God has given us the ability to do so. So when can we anticipate that book? Because I know there's a lot of people going through relationship issues right now. You know, I don't care how many books are written, how many times people talk about that. It is something that is always hot off the press.
Well, the book is in your hand now. So whenever you
what am I supposed to do with it? You told me to read it. You told me to read it.
No. If you read the email I sent you, I said, Val, please review. And I said, when I spoke to you, I asked you to write the foreword for it.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So as soon as you finish that. And I also said the cover with Vanessa. And those two things are done. But my goal is to have it out in 30 days.
Okay. It's possible.
Okay.
It is absolutely possible.
Okay.
So, what is this, November?
Yeah.
We'll just say January, you're going to be rolling out as an author, a first-time author.
Yeah.
Okay. About time.
You're too funny.
I know. You got to love me. I tell you, this is why we do Hot Topics from the Soul, is so we can be show people we normal, we go through issues, we go through drama, but yet, thanks be to God, we are still here. We are here.
We are still here.
And those that are listening, if you have any questions or comment, you press 1 and you can join in the conversation. I'm Dr. Valerie Parker, and I have Shirley Carter, my co-host. So if you have any questions or comments regarding her upcoming book, or if you want to cheer her on or say something to her regarding her book to motivate her to do it, then she's going to blame it on me again, saying she's waiting for the forward. But nevertheless, you'll have that opportunity. You just press 1 if you want to say anything regarding what we've been discussing on this hour.
And then as far as the forward, if I don't get a forward from you, the book will go forward. That is my focus, moving forward. And if I have to do plan B or detour, my goal and my focus is moving forward. And, you know, with this election, and I don't think some of our listeners know that I was actually a fellow with the campaign this year. That was really an experience. I was in the fellow program. I was in the fellow program.
What is that?
The program, okay, with the fellow program, you apply. You have to go through a screening process. You submit your resume. You're interviewed by 2 or 3 people. Then you have to attend a training. Now, this program, what it is, with the Obama campaign that I went through the fellow program with, you have to make a commitment of 30 to 40 hours a week of volunteering, learning every aspect of the campaign, and it's a 10-week program. So I went through the fellow program. It was intense because there's so many different aspects to a campaign, everything from recruiting volunteers to getting on what they call the dashboard. And this dashboard connects everyone that's involved in the campaign, where you would actually communicate with each other. You plan events. You know every event that is taking place in the whole U.S. for the campaign. You know the date, time, place, location. You have a direct contact with the campaign manager. You have a direct contact with all the different states as far as the field officers, the field directors, the social media people. You do everything with all the voters in your state, in your county. You have access to all of these people's names and addresses and phone numbers. So it is really, truly a grassroots program because you organize groups of people in your neighborhood. You do what they call house meetings, house parties, where you actually sit and discuss the campaign, and then you're given information, literature, video clips and things that you share at these meetings, and you do strategy of how to reach other people. So it's like word of mouth, phone calls, direct contact. So this is, you know, when they talk about, when I hear the news media people talk about the type of campaign that he ran and how it was grassroots, it really was. And it was something to be actually physically involved in it as being one of the organizers and working on that line, being in that program. When I first applied for it, and this is the thing, there was a lot of people that applied for it, but they only select so many of them. Like there was over, they received over 13,000 applicants, and for Michigan, they only choose, you know, they chose like 3,000 people for the program. And I was blessed to be one of those 3,000 because I learned inside out on how to run a grassroots political campaign of that magnitude.
Mm-hmm.
So it was an experience. And then what else was really a good experience for me to actually be able to have conversations where the president, like even tonight, Val, there's a he's got a thank you call for all the organizers that was in the program. We did a video conference call with him, and we actually got to ask him questions. We did one with the First Lady. We did one with Vice President Biden. And that was really special for me to be able to be in a video conference with them, and actually each person was given their own ID number to call in on. So he knew who you were. You know, when you press your button to speak to him, he called you by your name.
Wow.
Okay, so what do you have to say? Now, right, and I was like, that's something that I will forever keep dear, you know, as far as being a part of that and working, putting in those hours like that. It was rewarding, but it was also very exhausting. Because of the level of excitement and everything when we all came together and knowing that, okay, we're doing this. We're really working this. And the young people that was involved, it was so much energy with all the young people. We even had people like 15 years old working a campaign. They can't even vote, but they were so involved and excited about it. So it's, you know, when I talk about being focused and moving forward, it gave me a new insight on a lot of things, even in my own personal life, about going back to the basics and getting focused, more focused, and moving forward in spite of what it looks like, what it sounds like, and what people may say it's like. But staying on the path. And I'm so glad that, you know, we're doing this topic tonight because it is so important. The election is over, but there's still so much more work to do. One of the things that's on the Supreme Court desk right now, as we speak on this topic about moving forward, the voters' rights. That is on the, there is a state, actually a county in Alabama, is challenging it in the Constitution to remove it with the ideal that each state should be able to decide about voters' rights. So it is, you know, on the desk of the Supreme Court as we speak. And since the election, one of the other things that has come up, in the Constitution it speaks about separating from the U.S., how a state can separate, how a union can separate. And there has been several states that have filed a petition to be removed from the U.S., to be their own entity. And Michigan is one, Florida is one, Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, North Carolina. There's several of them that have filed this petition to be removed because of their protests against the reelection of our president. So there's a lot that is still going on even after the election. So that's why we have got to do more than say, okay, we voted, we got the president. We got to push our representatives and things that, you know, House of Rep and the senators, that we have voted into these positions to represent us, to do their part, to move forward and get out of this stagnated state they're in of trying to push their just point across. They're there for the constituents. And so we as the people who put them in those positions need to hold them accountable for their actions. For 2 years, we have not done that. We have allowed the president to hold the whole weight of making them accountable. But we're the ones who put them in those positions.
Well,
so
one of the things that listeners don't know and haven't done or paid attention to is the fact that they with our local primaries, where you get the mayor and the commissioners and the judges and stuff, that a lot of people don't think that it's important to vote during those times. The only one they're concerned about is when it comes to the presidency.
Right. And then, but the ones, you know, that's your local government. But we, every 4 years, we still have in the election where we put Congress in place. And that's your House of Representatives and your senators. Now, those people are put into place to represent us and to be there to serve us in our best interest. But what has been happening in the last 2 years, they've been serving their own interests, and they're not thinking about the constituents. We voted them in those positions. So when you vote for your Congress, you know, congressmen, your senators, and your House of Representatives, those people are people that, you know, that election takes place 2 years after the election of the president. And, but, like you said, a lot of people don't get out and vote in that election. And so even though they didn't get out and vote in that election, but those people that are in those positions are still representing even the ones that didn't vote. So if you want to move forward and be proactive in your future and making things better for your children and grandchildren, then we need to start holding them accountable for their actions. And that, I guess some are listening and be saying, well, how can we do that? What can we do? We have access to them. They all have phones. They all have emails. That is public knowledge. That we can send them letters and say, look, I need you to make sure that you're moving forward, that you're acting on this, not sitting back on it. You know what you want as an individual. You know what you want to see. Express that to them. If they start getting enough letters from their constituents, one thing they know, that they can be voted out of that position And that means they're unemployed. So I don't think they want to be unemployed if they start getting enough letters and hearing from their constituents. They want to hold those positions. They don't want to be out of work. So don't think that they are in a position and they're there and they're not going to lose their jobs and they're going to be fine. No, they want to keep those jobs, just like you and I do when we have a job.
Okay. Marie, are you still holding?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much for calling on me because that was very, very, very good, Shirley.
Thank you.
The things that you've said will automatically help us to help the president. And the relationship that you all were talking about, my God, you know, everything that you all talked about, I'm going through and more with it, you know. My husband married me with me being handicapped, you know. And he go off and he stay off, you know, like days and nights and, you know, and, you know, sometimes weeks and stuff like that. And do you know that here in the state of Florida, they don't have anything at the where to help me to be able to have somewhere that I can be able to go to get help, unless and it's at the where that I gotta like press charges or, you know, take in for a divorce or, you know, just things that, you know, like if I need, you know, like now, it's hard for me because I'm not able to really take care of the house, you know, and because I don't get enough on my Social Security. Mm-hmm. And also, I have been going down, you know, to the House Authority, and I even went down to the Congress at the where down there to the 115 building to some of the town meetings, and I still haven't gotten any help, you know. And I've also called Legal Aid, and the only thing that they can do is just give me a divorce, and that's it, you know. Okay, well, what can I do with the divorce right now? And I don't have anything or anybody to help me. You see what I'm saying? And then it's like I asked one of the lawyers there. I said, well, he married me, you know, and why would he marry me if he, you know, wanted to take me through these changes, you know? And it should be a law because it's not fair and it's not right. And I seriously hope nobody else will have to go through this the way I had to go through for these last 3 years of being married. But it's just so hard sometimes to keep going. You know, I keep going because I know my Heavenly Father and my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know that they're with me, you know, because just like the footprint says that, you know, when you see that shadow, you know, that will be, you know, my Heavenly Father and my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost keep me, you know, it leads me and guide me in the right way. But the thing is, you know, sometimes you have to get into politics and sometimes you have to get into other things simply because that's how life is, because life do go on. You know, like you said, you know, Valerie, you know, life do go on. But the thing is that when you're in it, no matter what people say and no matter how they say it, you know what I'm saying, it's still hard to just jump right up and get out of it, you know. And like you say, you know, you just got to sit, you know, but the Lord tells me that vengeance is healed. And just sit, you know, and just be still, you know. But the thing is, you know, I like to let people know sometimes because sometimes I might need help. And they might know where I can get help from. So, and then if you keep quiet a lot of times, that means that you, you know, a lot of times you won't even get any help, you know. So, you know, and, you know, these men, you know, like you say, they, you know, like you say, Valerie, you know, they'll say the right things and they'll do the right things until they get you. And then once they get you, then it's like, okay, I got you, you know, and I'll holler at you, you know, when I want to. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's just so hard, you know, but, and we are, you know, and I know, you know, women are very stubborn, they're very hard-headed, you know. But we are very weak in a lot of ways, you know, and we're very weak to a lot of men, you know. So, you know, it's you know, and President Obama has made, you know, he's put in a lot of things that we need, you know, like he's put in a lot of legal, you know, like people can vote now, you know, as to where if you have not been in any trouble and you're off probation or you're off parole or anything like that, and you haven't been any, you know, any trouble or anything, okay, well, you can vote now as long as you've been, you know, not in any trouble within a year's time. So, you know, I just don't know. You know, we just got to help him, you know, and put these things out, you know, and so that, you know, we won't be getting hurt like this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, make a mess of foul, because we can do that. You know, like Shirley said, if we go out and we write these letters and we do these things and we do them together, there's nothing that they can do but do, you know, what we say, you know, or how we say it, or either, you know, make it in consideration. Thanks for letting me share that.
Thank you so much. I had no idea that you were facing that or you know, your situation as it relates to relationships or anything like that. So, thank you for letting me know, because now I know something I don't know, so that I can reach out to you and see what needs that I could possibly help you with through my foundation. And I thank you for, you know, being one of our listeners and participating and lending a voice, because this is what it's all about, you know, we having a platform where we would not narrowly have one to say what's on our heart, what's on our minds, and, you know, it could be the only message that people will ever get a chance to hear from us otherwise. And that's why people are enraged and do some of the things they do, is because they don't have an outlet to express themselves. So thank you for your willingness to share that, and I pray that it helps somebody else that is going through a situation such as that. Shirley, so
yeah.
Now you see that, you know, what we do in the books and in things, we be teasing and stuff, but it is all for a good cause.
Yeah. Yes, it is. And I just wanted to say that I encourage you to stay strong, and whatever you do, don't lose yourself in the midst of fighting your way to wherever it may be. If it's out of this relationship or staying in the relationship, but in the midst of it all, do not lose yourself. That happens so often that a person moves themselves, men and women, when they're in some of these relationships that are destructive. They tend to conform to trying to be all that they can be for that other person to make them happy, but lose themselves along the way. And then, you know, the relationship ends up ending, and then they have to try to pick up the pieces of their lives. So hold on to who you are. Hold on to your faith, and most of all, keep God first. Like I said, no matter what it looks like, what it sounds like, what people may say, you're the one that's living it, and God knows what you're going through, and he will make a way for you out of no way. So just be strong, my sister, and hold on to him.
Yeah, and Shirley is, you can reach out to Shirley, too, because she can definitely help you as it relates to this situation, because she was married and going through a relationship issue with her husband, and she was, when she, you had cancer and lupus, all these things were going on with you, Shirley?
Yes, and I was taking chemo. And was dealing, you know, when she was talking about how he just leaves and go, and that's what my husband was doing. And, you know, I had no job, no income, and I put him out. I took that leap of faith, and I put him out. I mean, when I said I had no job, no income, sick, I ended up in the hospital for 30 days, but I could not continue to live like I was living. And I put in my mouth, and I have not looked back. God has opened doors. He's made ways out of no way. And when I sit back and I look and I think, how did this happen? I knew it couldn't have been no one but him to make it possible. And I had two young kids at the time, two sons in school. They weren't even teenagers. So you can reach out to me as well.
Well, this is why, as I said, we do this show, because we never know where somebody is. And we certainly, between the two of us, we've been through some things. And I'm sure
yeah.
we will go through some more things, but we got a testimony.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
And the thing is, I was emailed a friend, a person that I connect with sometime on Facebook. And, you know, occasionally I see people's faces before me when I'm in my prayer and meditation before I start my day, and, you know, I will reach out to them and, you know, just say hello and say I love them because, you know, I don't know, but, you know, if the Lord put you in my spirit, I'm going to reach out to you. And I was saying to her, she was saying that how things were kind of difficult, but she was, you know, making her way through. And I gave the illustration to her about how when we're going through that last trimester, that last month of pregnancy, how we're so uncomfortable. We're so uncomfortable and miserable. But then when it comes down to giving birth and those contractions are coming, and that's how it is sometimes as it relates to our dreams. Sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's rough, and sometimes it feels like it's going to take our breath away. But in the midst of that, that last breath, that last ounce of strength, we push. And then once we push, the manifestation of all that pain, all that travail comes before us, and it is as though we never went through any pain at all because we're so overwhelmed with the joy of what we've accomplished that the pain is no more. And that's how life is on a daily basis. Regardless of where you are, what I want to leave you with tonight is push. Push your way through to success. Push your way through to the promise. Everything that has been spoken over your life or you know to be true about you coming out on the other side, I want you to envision yourself already there. Envision yourself at the finish line with your hands lifted, with your mouth open and screaming, I made it over. I made it through. This is our moment. This is our victory. This is our time. It is your time. It is your moment. And you've got to push and get it to the other side. And that's what I'll leave you with tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of where you find yourself, remember to push. But most of all, remember to breathe. This has been another Hot Topics from the Soul. Tell a friend, email the show to someone to uplift them, and visit my website, www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. And we look forward to hearing from Shirley next week as she gives us some more nuggets from her book. 2 seconds, Shirley. Any questions?
No, Des, thank you. And I'm looking forward to speaking with you next week.
Okay, much love. Y'all have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week. I will be traveling next week, but if I'm not on this show, Shirley will be able to hold it down. Good night, and God bless.
Good night. God bless.
Good night. God bless.